Hello and welcome back to New Every Day. I'm Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're talking about some prickly situations. So stay tuned.
For more life in the desert on our road trip. So glad that you've tuned in again. This week we are continuing our discussion about our crazy road trip that we took to the United States, landed in Vegas, rented a hippie van, traveled to LA, camped through the desert, was amazing.
Yeah.
The desert was actually cold.
The desert was cold.
We got hats and mitts on.
First morning I thought my hands were going to fall off.
Oh yeah.
It was bad.
But man, we lit up our propane stove and we cooked, and it's just so satisfying to camp. If you're never going camping, you need to do it. Right?
What the?
Jen is not a camper, but she did so great.
I did. I was very impressed in our camper van. But it's because, no, camper van.
No scorpions.
No scorpions, no snakes. The bears can't get at you. There are firm walls all around. You drive in, you park it. There is no shimmying it up. There's no getting out, putting it out, packing it up. When the rain comes, bring it on. Like,
it's... But I did try and put together a table.
You did.
At nighttime.
You did. It was funny.
It was hard. So not everything worked out perfectly. But we did have another amazing adventure down into the Cholla Gardens.
Yes, and at the Joshua Tree National Park.
Joshua Tree National Park in Southern California.
Yeah.
And the Cholla garden, the Cholla cactus, it's a family of cactus, cacti. Yeah.
Cacti.
Cacti. Jen's done some research. And it was like 100,000 of these plants.
Oh, so many.
In the bottom of this valley thing. So when we drove down, what happened was when there was torrents of water... going down into this valley, they carried, well, brings water. Yeah. And there were some cacti there, and they spread their seeds, and the torrents of water would then pick up the seeds, spread it out into a fan, like I was talking about last week, and spread these seeds. And so consequently, there was a garden, like a practically a forest, of these teddy bear cholla.
Yes, teddy bear cholla. It's spelled C-H-O-L-L-A. And I have said it several different ways.
Cholla.
Cholla. Cholla.
Today she was like, Acholla.
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 So it is pronounced Cholla.
Yeah.
But they're anything but teddy bear-like.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Don't be deceived.
The spines? Would you call them spines?
Pokies.
Pokies. Mm. Scientific name. Pokies. The pokies on them are like quite long.
Oh, yeah.
And they are designed in such a way that when you rub up against them, then they immediately like to stick to you.
They're like Velcro.
They're like Velcro, like slightest touch. They're like the best Velcro ever.
Yeah.
And one of the videos that I watched on the garden, the guy said, "This is not the garden to run through naked at night." I was like, ah!
Owie. Owie.
Because what's interesting is you think of a teddy bear, you think cute, cuddly, I want to hug it, right? But these, they stick to you at just the slightest touch. So I think at one point we just simply went off the beaten trail, and not even far, like just slightly to look at a plant, and one got on my foot.
And you didn't even know it. In fact, someone came up behind her and said, Jen, or not Jen, she didn't know your name. That'd be weird. Unless she was like, hey, are you Jen from New Every Day? Didn't happen.
Did not happen.
But if you ever see us in public, come and say hi, because we really want to meet you, everyone who's watching. Anyways, so this little cholla thing, and they're called jumping cholla, because it seems like these little pods, which are actually the seeds that break away, and that's how they germinate or spread. So this little thing stuck to her, and she didn't even know it. Someone came up behind her and was like, hey, you've got a cactus on your foot.
Yeah, and then Carrie at one point, like, as I'm getting it off of me, Carrie actually got one on her foot, and she's like,
fling it off.
Fling it off.
It's a crab stuck.
And what was interesting about these teddy bear choya is that if you get the barbs or pokey things, Robbie, can you lend the, you know, you can be the intellectual one for this show and put up the real name. Whatever they are,
quills,
they go into your skin, and they said they're quite difficult to take out.
Why?
It must be the little thing on the end, the barbed end gets in, and if you do not take it out properly, then actually infection can occur, and you need medical attention. And I'm like, because you look at them, and they really are quite beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
And they look soft in a way because they're totally covered, right?
Yeah, but not even soft. Even looking at them on the side of the path, I was like, I just want to touch them. And I wanted to touch them mostly because I knew I couldn't, you know? Like, I just want to touch it. So hard not to.
It was so hard not to, but they were so sneaky. Mm-hmm. Like, because neither one of us knew that we had them on us. Mm-hmm. And it reminded us of the fact that the enemy appears like an angel of light. Like, just so sneaky. And I was looking at a passage from Hebrews. This is Hebrews 2. And it says, so we must be more careful to follow what we were taught. Then we will not stray away from the truth. And it just, these little jumping teddy bears made me think, because they're so sneaky that, you know, they latch onto you and they wait for you to carry them away. And they're designed for that. Like, that's how they germinate and that's how they spread to other areas. And it protects them against predators as well for being so spiky. But it got me thinking about the enemy and how sneaky he is and how he can sort of just, you know, we can unknowingly just brush up against something and think, oh no, we're perfectly fine because I didn't actually do whatever I thought I might do. And when we were in Vegas, I said to Carrie, my eyes are seeing things I don't want to see. Because what happens is those images go in, right? And I can think, well, I haven't meditated upon them.
They germinate.
Yeah. But, you know, those things can go in. They can come back in dreams and or just cause you to have so much, like, angst, I find. Yeah. And I really thought about those jumping cactuses and just as an object lesson for how the enemy can sort of attach itself into our lives. Like, just get involved and be carried along, right?
And you not even know.
And not even no.
Yeah.
And so, needless to say, when I finished being in Vegas, I was like, okay, Lord, could you just take care of my thoughts? Would you just, you know, get rid of all those sticky things that might be sticking to me because I don't want them to. I don't want to, you know, get an infection spiritually.
Yeah. And that's where we met another park ranger, Ranger Beth. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll show you a picture of her. She said that was okay. And Beth kind of explained a lot more about the cactus and the types of birds that actually live in the cactus and what the danger is of being associated with it. She was our guide. And that's, again, like the word of God. And we had a map with us actually to tell us about the different things of the garden and help us to see the beauty in it, but also to be warned about some of the aspects of the cactus garden that we should avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's the purpose of the scriptures, to illuminate things in our life.
Yes.
And the Bible says to purify yourself out of reverence for God. Jesus says, if you love me, you obey me.
Mm-hmm.
And you put away the things that are the sin that so easily entangles,
yes,
and to run the race with perseverance. And that's why we need that guide in our life. We need the Holy Spirit and we need the scripture to illuminate the path that we can walk clearly.
Yes.
And in the end, it's less painful.
Oh yeah, because they said, don't go off the path.
Not only is it bad for nature, but it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And we were hiking another mountain trail, and I wanted this really cool picture of a cactus with the mountains in the background, and I did get it, but at a cost, because I went off the path and I bent down and I actually put my arm in a cactus. And I don't know if you can see the quills that were in my arm, but I had to pull them out. And it was painful.
I have a video of that.
Oh dear, do you?
Yes. That might just...
So, I just learned something very important. If you see a cactus, don't touch it or lay on it because they will stick in you. As you can see here. Very dangerous. Oh, that's all I have to say. Just be careful. So, yeah. Lesson learned.
And it was... Ouchie. Like, it hurt. Like, as I'm videotaping her, you're thinking, why didn't you put the camera down and help her? It's better to get it on film. But she's like, and at one point, you were kind of like,
because I stuck some of them were my coat, but some of them were my skin.
Yeah, and you're like, that hurt.
It was owie. Yeah.
So, it was very interesting. Like, stay, like, they were very clear. Stay like, on stay path. On the path.
But what was also interesting was that the Rangers, they appreciated the diversity. They wanted to preserve that. And as we were hiking through Joshua Tree, we saw a plaque about a woman named...
Minerva Hoyt.
Minerva Hoyt, who was this woman actually from Mississippi.
A very well-to-do woman, actually. You think, what is she doing? Oh, yes. Yeah, she was a very well-to-do woman from a well-to-do family who had moved to Southern California.
Oh.
And she got attracted by the beauty of the desert.
Yes, appreciated the... diversity that was there and saw the beauty that no one else saw. And maybe you can speak a little bit more to that, Jen. I know that you've done a little bit of reading on her.
Well, she, yeah, appreciated the beauty. She saw the beauty in the desert when so many people, as she said, were digging it up and burning it and running over it. She was like, no, there's beauty here. And so she actually petitioned President Roosevelt to make it a national park, that they needed to protect
that land,
the vegetation in the desert there for future generations, because it was important. There was beauty there. And it challenged me as I read that, because we have been talking a lot about how there's life in the desert. But it takes, I want to say, a keen eye to see it. Like, are we actually looking for the oases? Are we actually looking for the sources of water or the beauty around us? Are we looking for how God has, the provisions God has given us? And she was seeing that. She saw the beauty, even though, you know, everybody thought, well, it's a desert. There's nothing good that could come out of this.
People often only see how a landscape can benefit them directly. And I saw a picture. It was a sign that said that, essentially, that people wanted to take advantage of the geography there, only if it could bring them in some money. That area was really affected by the gold rush, too. People were running to dig up the gold, and they started a lot of mines.
And what it reminded me of was in Genesis 1, where God actually, you know, after he created male and female, he said... God blessed them and said, have many children and grow in number. So this is Genesis 1:28 from the New Century Version. Fill the earth and be its master. Rule over the fish in the sea and over the birds in the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And it says, look, God said, look, I have given you all the plants that have grain for seed and all the trees whose fruit have seed in them. They will be food for you. I have given all the green plants as food for every animal and every bird of the air and every small crawling animal. And it happened. And it's like God gifted us the earth and we are to be stewards of it. We're supposed to look after it. And just like Minerva looked at this land in Joshua Tree, she's like, we need to look after this. We can't let people just run over it. And just like the two rangers said, no, look at the beauty, see the beauty, look beyond just, you know, driving by it, like actually get to know it. It really challenged me because I remember Carrie had showed me a video about this young woman who basically was trying to live a garbage-free life.
She did it for 2 years.
Like
no garbage except a mason jar of like random string and something she didn't know what to do with.
Yeah, and it really, really impacted me because I thought, okay, we're called to steward the land. So... what about recycling? What about, you know, watching the things, you know, being careful about the things that we buy and too much packaging, because does that just go into a landfill, which, you know, we're going to get this big chemical heap.
Waste heap that we're going to eat eventually. Yes, it's going to
seep down. And so it challenged me, like, how am I being a good steward of the land? Like, even down to the car that I drive and being excessive with driving and using up, you know, gas. And I'm still working on that one. I don't have a final answer.
I feel like there's a healthy middle ground, because there's some people who take it too extreme and can't even enjoy the things that are before them.
Yes.
And there are some people who are like, and even Christians who say, well, you know what? This world's not my home anyway. I'm just here for a short time, and not really consider the people who are coming after them.
Exactly.
Which is something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was challenged by that video too. I'll put a link for you to the YouTube video of the interview with this woman that I was really challenged by. So.
Yeah. So looking at Minerva and how she stepped up to protect the land. And I'm so glad, because now we were able to go and enjoy it. And I was just so blessed by her forethought.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'm wanting, is that the Lord would give me forethought in how to look after the space he has given me to look after, mm-hmm. so that, you know, future generations, whether they're mine or someone else's, can then enjoy the same space.
Yeah.
It's really cool. On the outside of a farm that I lived at, my great grandmother planted, I've dropped the name. It's a flower that clematis, and it has been climbing up the side of the house for over 100 years.
No way.
And it's beautiful. And I'm so thankful that she had the forethought to plant it, and that the oncoming generations have taken care of it so that we can enjoy the same beauty plus more that she enjoyed. And to the fact that my cousin now lives in that home, and he's actually wanting to build like an arbor so that it can grow up and over it, so that future generations can continue to enjoy that climbing cactus or climbing clematis. And so, you know, as we are to be good stewards of the land, it's not only for our own benefit, but it is so that our future generations have something to enjoy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I've dropped the name again. Choya.
Choya.
The Choya.
Not the Chala.
Or Choya.
Well, Choya. Lots of lessons to be learned. I mean, there's so much more that we could talk about as far as the life in that area of the desert, including like a desert wren, like a little bird that lives in the cactus, makes its home there, finds refuge there, protection from predators.
Yes.
And we could talk about that for a long time. But we just encourage you to take stock of your life, and maybe there's some changes that you could make to be more conscientious about the waste that we're making. So maybe I'll just pray for us, Jen.
Sure.
Father, thank you so much for this earth that you've made. It's so diverse and beautiful. Thank you for the world around us. Thank you for the places that each of us live in. And I know a lot of our viewers live in other countries that you have also made so incredible. I pray that you'd open our eyes, Lord, to the things around us, that we can celebrate the beauty that you have made and realize that it declares your glory. Thank you for the diversity in this world. Mm-hmm. Would you help us to be good stewards? Help us to advocate when we need to advocate. And I just thank you for our viewers. And Lord, we just commit this week to you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in again.
Yes.
And we probably have a couple more shows to show you about our trip and some of our adventures in the United States. And we hope that you'll tune in. Pop on over to our website, neweveryday.tv. Click our partners page. Scroll down. We've got so many people partnering with us, so many businesses partnering with us, which we're so thankful for. Thanks to Robbie Ferguson and Category 5 TV for hosting this show and for editing and producing it. We're so grateful, and also so grateful for you for tuning in.
Yes, so we encourage you to stay on the path this week, and we'll see you here again next week, same time, same place. It's on the internet. It's hard to say where you're going to be watching it.
True.
I've watched it in different places. I actually have watched us on vacation.
True. There you go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.